Yo, the parsha starts off with Parsha Pekudei. It says it's parsha is all about repetition. It's all about all the other things, and it's about the Ramazan. Remember the first thing that we learned about the Mishkan: Vasuli Mikdash v'Shachanti b'Socham, and make me a Mikdash, and I will live among them. It does not say v'Shachanti b'Socho, that I will live in it, that I will be inside the Mishkan itself, but it says v'Shachanti b'Socham, I will dwell among them, among the people. I will be with every Jew in B'nai Yisrael. That's where I'm going to be. That means that even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, even when there's no Mishkan, there are other ways of giving a kapara. There are other ways of getting a kapara. What did we do back then when the Mishkan was around? We gave money, brought a korban, brought it up to the Beis HaMikdash, and gave it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somehow that atoned for us in a spiritual way. In a spiritual way. But there's another way of doing it. Giving tzedakah to Talmidei Chachamim. And by Talmidei Chachamim, I don't mean some guy, like really smart guy or something like that. I mean finding one of the tzaddikim of the world. And giving that guy money is like a mizbeach. The tzaddik is like a mizbeach. And by giving him money, it's like giving a korban, a sacrifice, sacrificing of your own money, over to that guy and giving it over to him. That is the equivalent of giving a korban. Nowadays, it's giving money over to a Talmid Chacham. That's the idea behind it. Says the Pardes Yosef, that's the beginning of this parsha. Eile Fekudei HaMishkan. Eile Fekudei HaMishkan. Eile is the Gematria 36. Anybody know what 36 has to do with tzaddikim? The Lamed Vavniks, my friends. The Lamed Vavniks, the famous 36 tzaddikim that nobody knows about. The secret, hidden tzaddikim that are out there that are someone that we don't know about. There's always someone in our generation who collects the money for those 36 tzaddikim. There's someone around there who's a tremendous tzaddik himself who goes around collecting the money for those Lamed Vav tzaddikim and goes around and gives it to them. Giving money to those people, says the Pardes Yosef, to those people who are collecting for the Lamed Vavniks, giving money to those people is like giving over a korban to the mizbeach, and it's exactly the same. And that's why it says, Eile, the 36, are only good when Pekudei HaMishkan, when the Mishkan is missing, when the Mishkan is gone. That's when you give over to the 36, and that's the idea. Yes, Daniel?
Do we know who these people are or not?
No idea. That would be the point of the hidden tzaddikim, that they would be, by definition, they'd be hidden, so we wouldn't be able to see exactly who they were. But that's the reason why the pause, the Maimer Chazal is, Kasha Misa Tzaddikim, Kisreifas Beis Elokeinu. Worse is the death of the tzaddikim. It's just as bad as Kisreifas Beis Elokeinu, is the burning of the Beis HaMikdash. The burning of the Beis HaMikdash is equal to the death of a tzaddik, because a tzaddik, one of these Laman Vavniks, is equal to the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. That's the idea behind it. However, this Mishkan was not the only thing being made. They all point out in the first pasuk, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan Oedus. It says the word Mishkan twice. And later on in the parsha as well, Perek Mem, Pasuk Yud Zayin, and Pasuk Yud Ches. The psukim say, who come a Mishkan? The Mishkan was set up, and the very next pasuk, Vayokem Moshe a Mishkan. Moshe set up the Mishkan. Superfluous. That's a big, big word. I don't use words that big, so you know this is good. So what in the world does Moshe Rabbeinu have to repeat it for? Why does he have to say, we set up the Mishkan, and I set up the Mishkan? And it says Mishkan twice in the first pasuk. What is the remez to? What is the hint over here? Moshe of Zakenim, all the Rishonim really say this. There are two Mishkans. One is down here in Olam Hazeh, and one is directly opposite it up above in Shemayim. One is above it in Shemayim. It's a Mishkan. Says the Shach al Torah. Originally, there's a Beis HaMikdash up there. Remember, we spoke about this a little bit earlier. Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yadecha. Where do we say that? Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yadecha. Very good. By Elz Yashir. We say Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yadecha. The Mikdash of Hashem. What you made with your own hands. Even at the times of Kriyas Yamsuf, a Beis HaMikdash was there in Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Beis HaMikdash in Shemayim. There was something up there, like a temple that was up there. There was an extremely holy place. However, we weren't zoche to be able to go to that Beis HaMikdash. Instead, we got a Mishkan. We got a Mishkan instead. We came to a Mishkan instead of that Beis HaMikdash. What do we get out of that Mishkan? What does that Mishkan do for us? Well, it's a little bit of a lower level. But in that Mishkan in Shemayim, it's supposed to be that while we were making the Mishkan down here, we had people working and people doing this, and there was Bitzalo in charge and Ali of Ben Achisama who was with him and everything. Up in Shemayim, there were angels that were charged with the, I guess, the mission of creating a new Mishkan up above. They created a Mishkan all up above that was exactly equal to the Mishkan we have down here, but not physical, obviously. Spiritual. And this spiritual Mishkan, everything that we have down here, the Malachim did up in Shemayim, the exact opposite of what we have down here. So when we give a Korban on the Mizbeach, what happens in Shemayim? The exact same thing. The equivalence of a Korban being brought up on top of the Mizbeach. When we light up the menorah, what happens in Shemayim? The equivalence of a menorah being lit up in Shemayim. And so too with all these things, putting on the lechem aponim, all this stuff is exactly the ketores, burning the incenses and burning it to Shemayim. All these things are equal up there in Shemayim. The exact same thing is happening by those malachim up there in Shemayim. Now listen to this. The archangel Metat, in English it's Metatron. And I know that sounds like a Transformers name. It's not. But it's Metatron, not Megatron, not with a G. Metatron is this angel, the archangel up in Shemayim. We only call him Metat in Hebrew. His name is Metat. He is also known by the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's known as Adonai, as an Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That is the name that is used for Metat. Obviously, he's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, to say such a thing. But he is the closest thing that we can get to physically to try to understand the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's known as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And when it says in the Torah that Hashem spoke, sometimes it's Metat himself who's speaking in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Metat himself who's going around and saying in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it was time for us to be finished, Metat finished his Mishkan upstairs. And upstairs in Shemayim, you know what they used to do up there? They used to take, instead of korbanos of animals like what we bring, their makriv, the neshamos of tzaddikim. Metat, and some say Michoel, takes the neshama of a tzaddik and sacrifices it on the Mizbeach up Lamala. And that sacrifice is like an atonement for all of Bnei Yisrael down here. It's a kapara. It's an atonement for every single one of the Jews down here. That is the death of the tzaddik. That is the death of the tzaddik. Now listen to this. What was the first thing that they did in the Mishkan? They brought all the korbanos. They did everything. But nothing was working. The Shekhinah did not come down from Shemayim onto the Mizbeach. They needed the Shekhinah to be there. They needed the fire to come down for Shemayim. What finally allowed that fire to come down? Anybody know?
Torahs.
The Torah is burned by who? Nadav and Avihu died. What happened down here was we had a Mizbeach. We had the Korban that was brought, and we had the Ketores that was brought. But the only thing that set up the Mishkan Lamala, what did they need to do? They needed to sacrifice a tzaddik. So they took the neshamas of Nadav and Avihu, they took their souls, sacrificed them on the Mizbeach up Lamala, all the way up above, on the Mizbeach up there, to be an atonement for all Bnei Yisrael, and that allowed the fire to come down here. So both Mishkans were set up at the exact same time.
That's why Moshe Rabbeinu
knew the Krovaya Kodesh. He knew that someone was going to die. That's why Moshe turned to Aaron and said, I knew someone was going to die. I didn't know if it was going to be me. I didn't know if it was going to be you. Now I see that Nadav and Avihu were the ones chosen by God to be able to do this. That was the ultimate soul that was supposed to be the ultimate sacrifice, the definition of starting the Mishkan up Lamala. And that was Keneged, exactly opposite our Mishkan down here. Yeah.
Sorry, are we saying that Nadav and Avihu equals one-sided?
Yes. Rashi really does that. They were equal to one neshama. That's something that we can get into maybe Parsha Shmini or maybe Parsha Zacharemos. But yes, none of you were one tzaddik. That's actually a very, very good call. That's a very, very good call. That's the idea behind it. The name Mishkan. Why is it called Mishkan? Shochein, right? Because he dwells there. The Shekhinah dwells there. That's not it. Says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, the whole pshat behind the name Mishkan is to be Moshech. What does the word Moshech mean? To pull. It pulls down the kochos from Shemayim. It pulls down the powers that are up there in that Mishkan up above and pulls it down to the Mishkan down below. Only with the Mishkan up above that travels, just like our Mishkan travels, it travels with the Malachim opposite wherever our Mishkan is. That's the way everything was good. And later on, that Mishkan will eventually be destroyed in Shemayim and it will become the ultimate Mikdash Hashem Kon Yodecha. Only that Beis HaMikdash up above will remain and eventually we'll get it. That'll be the third Beis HaMikdash, but that was the idea. Ele Pekudei HaMishkan. The last letters of Ele Pekudei HaMishkan is Hey Yud Nun. Anybody want to do a quick gematria? Hey Yud and Nun is all together? 65, which is the same gematria as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The Pekudei HaMishkan is the Mishkan up above, which is the name of Adonai, which is the name of Matat, the angel who's in charge of that Mishkan, up Lamawa. That's number one, but there's another one. You know how far away that Mishkan is from the one down here? I'm sure nobody ever never traveled it. But I will tell you, it's altogether 236,000 parsas away from down here. 236,000 parsas, quoted by the Zohar. 236,000 parsas, give or take, that's about 472 miles. Give or take 472,000 miles, I'm sorry. 472,000 miles. I'm sure you could go there and be like, oh, it's Jupiter, whatever. It's obviously something spiritual, but that's the number that's given. Eile Pekude is a gematria of 236. Yes.
It's about twice the distance to the moon.
Twice the distance to the moon. There we go. We got it right in the bit. So there's something in between. It's not Mars, though.
So it's attainable.
It's around. It's attainable. Yeah, try to get up there. I'm sure we're not going to get anywhere. It's spiritual. It's not there. And the Ne'elama Mishkan. It was the Mishkan that wasn't seen, right? It's a Mishkan that was down here, but it's the one that wasn't seen. Remember we had the concept of Ne'elam, hidden letters? Mishkan is made up of a Mem, Shin, Chaf, and Nun. There are letters that you don't see. Like a Mem is Mem. That's Mem. Shin is Shin Yud Nun. That spells out Shin. Chaf is Chaf Pei. And Nun is Nun Vav Nun. Take all those letters that are missing. The Mem from Mem. The Pei from Chaf. The Yud Nun from Shin. And the Vav Nun from Nun. And altogether you equal 236. The Ne'elam, the hidden Mishkan, where is it? It's 236,000 parsecs away. That's where they all get that from. That's that. And by the way, parentheses. Anybody know that Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, and Acher went up to parties? They went up to this level that was unbelievably high. Does anybody know what Rabbi Akiva said when he got up there? We know Ben Azai died. We know Ben Zoma went crazy. We know Acher died. Acher went off the derech. And we know that Rabbi Akiva was able to look and stop himself. Anybody know what Rabbi Akiva said? You know what he said up there? When he saw it, he said something. Anybody know what he said? He said, when you get up there, it looks like water. But it's not water, it's marble. All that has to do with the floor of the Mishkan. He was looking at the floor of the Mishkan up above. He was seeing the floor of that, and that's what he was referring to. It's Avnei Shayish. It's a marble floor up there, just like the marble floor in the Beis HaMikdash. The exact same type of marble floor. But it's different. It looks like water up there. It's a whole big thing behind that, but that's not for us right now. Rashi quotes down. You ready for a lot of crazy Ramazan? I'm going to tell you, you're probably going to need a pen and paper to be able to do some of this stuff. We know that the Mishkan also refers to the Beis HaMikdash, the future temples that are going to be out there. Eile Pekude HaMishkan. Pekude means missing as well. Pekude can be the Lashon of missing. Eile Pekude HaMishkan. Here's where the Mishkan was missing. Mishkan HaEidus. Eile Pekude HaMishkan. This is how long the Mishkan was lost for. Mishkan HaEidus. How long did the first Beis HaMikdash stand for? 400 and? 10 years. How long did the second Beis HaMikdash stand for? 420, right? Mishkan is the gematria 410. Mem Shin Chaf Nun is the gematria 410. So Eile Pekude HaMishkan, you know how long we had the Mishkan for? How long we had that first Beis HaMikdash for? Mishkan, 410 years. That works out well. So you know what they say? Listen to Rabbeinu Bechaya. So what about the second Beis HaMikdash? Well, the first word, HaMishkan, is 415. And if you add on the five letters, it becomes 420. So you got 420 for the second Beis HaMikdash. Now that's awesome. But I don't want to add on five letters. Why are we adding on five letters? You're missing five from your gematria. What? 414 technically, right? So you're missing five from the gematria. It should be 420. Says the Rabbeinu Bechaya. There should have been 420. Really, the Chassam Sofer explains it. There should have been 420. It should have been Mishkan, Mem Yud, Shin Chaf Nun. That's what it should have said. But it didn't. Why? Because there were five things missing from the first Beis HaMikdash to the second Beis HaMikdash. Anybody know what those things were? The Aron Kodesh was missing. Nevuah was missing. There was the Urim Betumim was missing. The Shechina was missing. And if I remember correctly, what are we missing over here? We're missing one other thing. The Aron Shechina Kruvim. The Kruvim was missing. All those five things were missing from the second Beis HaMikdash. So because there's five missing, we took the 420 and subtracted five. So it became 415. But the letters were added in to be able to make it the 420 that it was supposed to be. Because it's missing five things, it's really 415. But if you add on the letters, then it's really 420. That's the idea that they give by this. Ha'edus, take out the vav, because the wording of the pasuk is without the vav, is 479. The first Beis HaMikdash was made 479 years after the Mishkan was made. So now it makes a lot of sense. Ela Pekude HaMishkan, these are the years of the Mishkan, of the first Beis HaMikdash. Mishkan, 410 years. Ha'edus, 479 years from now. However, the second Beis HaMikdash, which was missing five, so it should be Mishkan with the Yud, is really HaMishkan with the Hey, and that's the first word in this pasuk. Very nice, right? Very nice. Why in the world are you doing this over here? Why is this here? What's this anywhere else? Why is it here? So what does the literal translation of the pasuk mean? These are the numbers of the Mishkan. These are the numbers of everything. How much gold they had, how much silver they had, how much copper they had. Moshe Rabbeinu is going around and telling them, this is how much gold, and this is where the gold went. This is how much silver, and this is where the silver went. Why was he telling them what he did with it? Did you ever go up to your contractor and ask the contractor, I want to know how many bricks you bought. Tell me how many bricks you bought. Show me the exact, you know, I want to see everything. I mean, nobody gets the government when they spend $260 on a pencil. You know, I know we look at this stuff, but nobody really catches them on it. Be like, oh, you spent too much for that pencil. Nobody really catches them on it. So, I mean, why in the world are we catching them on this? Why did they go up to... What happened? The Medrash relates an unbelievable mice. The Jews saw Moshe Rabbeinu all of a sudden got very, very rich. All of a sudden got rich. Now, where was he? He went up to get the Luchos, came back down. We know what happened. Luchos were broken. God said, Pisolecha Shnei Luchos Karishonim. I want you to make new Luchos that are just like the first ones. So he took sapphire stone and he gave them as the Luchos. So he said, God, what am I supposed to do with the extra sapphire? Because he had to, you know, chisel them down to make them look like the Luchos. So what am I supposed to do with the extra sapphire? Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, keep it and use it for yourself. So he became tremendously rich from these sapphire stones. He immediately went back up to Shemayim, came back down, and then said, all right, guys, we're going to build a Mishkan. Everybody ready? We're going to go build a Mishkan. Now, all of a sudden, people are bringing him tons and tons of money. They know he hasn't worked at all over the past 3 months. And all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu has more money than everybody all together. He's spending money on everything. He's got all this money. Because people are bringing him donations, and they're thinking, and they're like, what in the world? They don't see the sapphire, they just see the money. You see that Moshe Rabbeinu all of a sudden is rich. What's going on here? How did Moshe Rabbeinu get all this money? They didn't know that he had sapphire. They didn't know that he was allowed to take this stuff. So they said, he must be skimming away from the donations to the Mishkan. They suspected Moshe Rabbeinu, chas v'shalom, of stealing the stuff. Of taking all this stuff. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I swear to you, as soon as we get everything together, I'll tell you exactly what I did with every bit of the Mishkan. Every bit of your donations, I'll tell you exactly what I did with every single one of them. I'll tell you what I did with the gold, with the silver, with the copper. That's this week's Parsha. Here's Moshe Rabbeinu coming after them. So remember, you guys suspected me of that? Here you go. This is what I did with this. This is what I did with this. This is what I did with that. That was a major sin of Bnei Yisrael. Of what? Choshed b'chsherim. Of suspecting an innocent person. And Lashon Hara. And Lashon Hara. What destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash? The Isra of Lashon Hara, says the Chafetz Chaim. Yeah, there was murder. Yeah, there were other things as well. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the major thing that they did wrong was the Isra of Lashon Hara. Was the problem of Lashon Hara, which is what the Jews were doing right now. Did you notice? Ela Pekudei HaMishkan. HaMishkan referred to which Beis HaMikdash?
Second one.
And then it says Mishkan Aedus, and the Mishkan refers to the first one. Why is the second one before the first one? Listen to this. Ela, the word, Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Isser, Lashon, Hara, Pekude HaMishkan is the reason why the second Beis HaMikdash was missing. The reason why the second Beis HaMikdash got destroyed was because of Ela. Ela is Isser, Lashon, Hara, Pekude, lost for us the Lashon of missing HaMishkan, the second Beis HaMikdash, which stood for 420 years. That was the problem with that. What about the Mishkan HaEdus, the first Beis HaMikdash that stood for 410 years? Why was that destroyed? Anybody know? Gili Arayis, Shnikus, Dhamma, Vodazara, they worshipped idols, they murdered, and they committed adultery. Asher is the next word in the Pasuk. Aleph stands for, number one, one God. Shin stands for, if I remember correctly, Shichba Zera Levatala, which was the Gili Arayis, illicit relationships, and the Reish, stands for Ritzicha, stands for murder. That was Asher. That was the reason why the first place Mikdash. Therefore, it did it out of order. So this Parsha is the reason why the Batei Mikdashos didn't survive. The most important thing is that this was where Lashon Hara happened, where Moshe Rabbeinu told them, you guys are going to speak Lashon Hara about me? Fine, I'll tell you exactly where my numbers went. Said God, Mida can I get Mida? I'm going to punish you guys. I'm going to destroy the second base of Mikdash due to your sin of Lashon Hara. That Lashon Hara is going to come back to bite you in the end. The second base of Mikdash is going to be destroyed. And by the way, the first base of Mikdash is going to be destroyed as well because your other sins, that's the big three, the Asher that we just spoke about. That's the idea behind it. I'm sorry? See, yeah, I agree with you. The question is, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Chicken or the egg. This board is after we know that this is what happened, we're coming along and we're saying, here's the board that fits into what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. However, if that never would have happened, if the Beis HaMikdash never would have been destroyed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu could retranslate, make another drusha out of this pasuk. And that drusha will be said later on. So Vaday, I mean, there's no question. It wasn't like it was preordained for it to be this way. It's just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that this is what's going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew. But yes, this board can be turned around in a good way to make it into a good thing. Now, you ready for the craziest board ever? And I'm very serious when I say this. This is by far the craziest board you will hear, possibly in your lifetime, but definitely tonight. Definitely tonight. Now, I heard something similar from Rabbi Schechter 2 years ago. Similar from Rabbi Schechter. I'm just going to take it a little bit further because I looked up the Rav Wolfson and I looked up all his marmikomos and everything. This is a nutty board. Moshe Rabbeinu could not remember what he did with something. He's going over everything and he's like, yeah, and this, the Ma'as Kikar, the 100 Kikar of Kesef and everything, you know what we did with that? We used it for these things over here. And then he said, and the 1,775 Shekel Kesef, I don't remember. He couldn't remember it. He had no idea. And all the people started murmuring. He doesn't remember. What in the world is that? Is it in your pocket, Moshe? Like, you know, they started murmuring to one another. Until the neshama of Rabbi Akiva came down and told Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the Vavim La'amudim, the little hooks outside the pillars that hang up by the Mishkan. There was like little things on the outside, the hooks on the bottom. Those hooks is what you use them for. So Moshe Rabbeinu's like, oh, that's right. Thank you so much, neshama of Rabbi Akiva. I really appreciate that. And he went ahead and he explained to Bnei Yisrael what they were for. But wait a second. What in the world's going on? How did Moshe Rabbeinu forget? How did he forget? And why without the neshama of Rabbi Akiva, where did he come from? Where is that coming from? Where did the neshama of Rabbi Akiva all of a sudden come down and be like, oh, I'm available. I'm here. I'm all ready to go. What in the world is going on here? What is up with this? So here we go. Ready? This is absolutely the most unbelievable thing you will ever hear. There are 600,000 neshamos of Klal Yisrael. 600,000 neshamos. 600,000 real roots of the soul of Klal Yisrael. And now obviously there's more than 600,000 people of Klal Yisrael. Sometimes those souls get split off into different people. So that me and a couple other people here could be the same soul, just I'm one part of that soul, you're another part of that soul, you're another part of that soul, but we're the same soul as all one together all the way up above. We're from the same shoresh, the same root up above. Think of it as like roots in a tree. It's all the same tree, but there's different roots going everywhere. There's different roots going all over the place. That's the first way. That's the first way to figure it out. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Now, in actuality, there are really only 300,000, 301,000. However, they say that we don't know how to make the letters nowadays. That the letters that they had back then, you split them up in certain ways. All together, Chazal say there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Each soul is represented by a letter, which means that every letter in the Torah stands for another Jew. Stands for another Jew. It represents a Jew. And that Jew, the Shoresh, his root, is in that letter in the Torah. That's why there's certain words in the Torah that you feel like, oh, this is my letter. This is my part. You might not feel it yet, but when you get holier, you will. You'll know where your letter is, you'll see where it is, and it'll make a lot of sense. You'd be like, you know, hopefully you're not in the word Zona or anything like that. You know, you're in a good word. You're in like Kadosh or something like that. That's all good. Hopefully you'll be in that word, and everything should be all good. But you'll understand exactly what your life is all about based on the letter that you're in. So 600,000 neshamas, 600,000 letters. However, Moshe Rabbeinu did not write the whole Torah. He came close. But the final final eight psukim, say Chazal, may have been written by Yehoshua. It's a Gemara in Baba Vasra on Daf Yud Daled Amud Beis. Yehoshua may have written the last eight psukim, because then it says by Yomas Shamosha, Moshe died there. In past tense, he died. He couldn't have written that and then died afterward. So the last eight psukim were written by Yehoshua. Listen to this. How many people were in Klal Yisrael when they counted them? 603,550. Everybody gave how many shkolim? Half a shekel. Half a shekel. 3,550 is how many half shkolim? 3,550 divided by 2 is what? 1775. Yeah, that's right. The 1,775 pieces of silver that Moshe forgot about is the silver that was given by those extra 3,550 people. But wait a second. There are only 600,000 souls in Klal Yisrael. Where do these 3,550 people come from? Say Chazal, says Rav Wolfson, they come from another part of Bnei Yisrael. In Bnei Yisrael, there are 600,000 souls that are from Hevel. There are 3,550 souls that come from Cain, the brother of Hevel. Those souls have absolutely no shaychus to the rest of Bnei Yisrael. They're outside of the camp. Just like there were people from Bnei Yisrael who were evil, who brought idols into the Yam Suf, like Micha. Remember that guy Micha, who had the pesel, had that idol that he brought into Kriyas Yam Suf? They were thrown out of the Anani HaKavod. These 3,550 people were not allowed in the clouds of glory. They were not allowed in the Anani HaKavod, because they weren't part of all of Klal Yisrael. They were a little bit set apart. They weren't part of the 600,000 people of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah. He wrote the Torah, which consists of how many letters? 600,000. He knew those 600,000 people, and he would never forget those 600,000 people. But the last eight psukim represent the 3,500, or I should say 1,775 letters. That was the 1775 letters, which are those 3,550 people at the very, very end.
Actually, in those psukim.
Yeah, you'd have to go through. It's not exactly there. But either way, you go through it, and those last eight psukim represent them. Moshe Rabbeinu never wrote that, so he had no shaychus to them. He didn't even know they existed. He always forgot about them. So when they gave a donation, he didn't even know who they were. He had no idea who these people were. He had no shaykhs with them. He had no connection with them. They were outside the Anani HaKavod. They were kicked out completely. There were people who were off. They were just off. There were people who mamish felt no connection to Moshe. Whenever they saw Moshe, they would look after him and be like, who is this guy? And Moshe felt no connection back to them, because they weren't part of the 600,000. They were outside those 600,000. But Rabbi Akiva is different. Rabbi Akiva, we know, was Torah Shebaal Peh. We all know that Rabbi Akiva went higher than Moshe Rabbeinu was ever able to get. He was higher than anyone was able to get. Rabbi Akiva's neshama was known as the Kotzel Shel Yud. In Hashem's name, on the Yud there's a little crown. That crown of the Yud is the neshama of Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva's neshama. That crown is so far high, it's higher than any other letter in the Torah. To that little part, it's so far up there, every Jew has a connection to that letter. Even somebody who's so far off, he doesn't keep Shabbos, doesn't keep Kashrus, doesn't do any of the laws of the Torah. Every Jew has a connection to that little part of the Yud, so that God can always pull him back. You can always be pulled back. Even though you feel, I'm so far out, there's nothing I can do, I can't bring myself back. Think of it as like the last thing that you have that you can still grab onto. As you float away, you can grab onto it, and that's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is all about bringing these people back. Moshe had no connection to those 3,550 people. Moshe had no connection to those shkolim, the 1,775 shkolim. But Rabbi Akiva did. Rabbi Akiva knew all those people, and he always tried bringing people back to Klal Yisrael, to bring all those guys back into Bnei Yisrael. Every Russia was able to be part of that. That's Rabbi Akiva's name. What does Akiva mean? Akiva is the Akev. The Akiv is the heel. The heel, the very last people on Bnei Yisrael, the last people on the very, very edge, the people that are gone. That's who Rabbi Akiva is able to save. That's what Rabbi Akiva is able to do. That's why, by the words, the Esau Eleth and the 1,775 pieces of silver, it says the word Uzla Geresh. It's the trup of Uzla Geresh. Uzla Geresh means they're divorced. They're out of Klal Yisrael. They're kicked out of Klal Yisrael, these 1,775 people. They're going completely, really, 3,550. These people are out of Klal Yisrael completely. Moshe had no shaykhs, but Rabbi Akiva did. So when Moshe forgot, what do we do with this stuff? Rabbi Akiva came along and told them, what were they? Vavim Lamudim. You know what the Vavim Lamudim were? Here's the Mishkan. Right here, the Vavim Lamudim are outside the area of the Mishkan. It's on the outside of the area, right over here. They're the hooks on the outside of the Mishkan. They have no shaykhs to the inside of the Mishkan itself. It's the part of the Mishkan that Moshe has no shaykhs to. It's outside of it. To them, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I have no clue who these guys are. I have no idea what I did with it. Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, no, they're still here. Don't worry about it. They're still here. Because Rabbi Akiva darshan the vavin. And you know what a vav is? What's a vav? What does it mean in English? A vav. That a vav is in vav vav. Just the word vav. And it's a connector. Connect these guys back. It's Vavim Lamudim. Amudim, the pillars are the rabbis. Connect them back to a rabbi. Connect them back to somebody who cares. Connect them back to somebody. Let there be a hook that connects these guys and brings them back in. That's what those 1775, those things needed. That's what those people needed. They needed somebody to pull them in, to grab them in, to reel them in, and to bring them back. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't know who these people are. He had no shaykhs to them because that wasn't his job. His job was the real Jews. Rabbi Akiva came along and said, no, I'll pull them back. I'll bring them in. I'll take care of them. He was the one who pulled these guys in, literally hook, line, and sinker, brought them in. And that's what it means when he says that Rabbi Akiva darshan zvavim. When the future looks bleak, when it looks like there's no further, I can't get any worse, that's when you become a vav la'amud. There's still a connection. You still on that kotz shel yud, that little bit of the yud that's sticking up in the sky. You still can connect to that, grab onto it, and pull yourself back down. And bring yourself back down. Connect yourself with something and bring it all back. That's the idea behind those 1775 things being lost, why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't remember them, and Rabbi Akiva had to remind him of it. That is a crazy little word. A very quick one, we're going to end with this, I think. Kasher Tzivah Shemes Moshe appears. Does anybody want to count them? Like God commanded Moshe? Anybody know how many times it appears in the parasha? 18 times. And if you look at it really closely, it might even be 19 times. Right? Obviously, a connection to Shemona Esrei. There are 18 brachas, and we added on a 19th bracha. Why does it have to be that way? Now, what does Kasher Tzivah Shemes Moshe mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Just translate the words. As Hashem commanded Moshe, right? As God commanded Moshe. You know why? Because, do you understand why we wear tefillin? Does anybody have a clue why we wear tefillin? A black box in our arm? God commanded it, right? Do we have a reason for it? The real reason behind it?
No.
Does anybody know why we wear tzitzis? I know, a reminder. It's a reminder, you know? But like, why tzitzis over anything else? Anybody know? Anybody here wearing tzitzis? We got something, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, but we do, we wear it, right? We wear it. There's something that tzitzis, God commanded, and that's it. There are mitzvahs out there that we do, even though we mamish have no clue. It's unfathomable to us. We don't understand them whatsoever. When they built the Mishkan, you think they had a clue what was going on? Let's make an Aron Kodesh, a golden little thing where we'll be able to keep the little luchos and keep it inside there. I'll make a table and put these lechem upanim onto showbread. We'll call it showbread and we'll show it. A menorah with seven little rings that were going out there. Like, you think anybody had a clue what was going on? Maybe Bezalel, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu, but the people? Person banging on the menorah. You think he's doing it well? But you got to have L'shem Shamayim involved. You got to be thinking of all the holy things that are out there. So what do? Says the Baal Shem Tov, and only the Baal Shem Tov can say such a thing. You know what you do? Concentrate on nothing else but this is what God commanded me to do. God commanded me to do this. When they made the Aron Kodesh, they didn't have a clue. All they thought was, God wants me to do this. God wants me to do this. God wants me to do this. That's what they were thinking. When they were making the menorah, God wants me to do this. God wants me to do this. There's nothing else they could think of because they couldn't understand the real reasons behind it. And so too, when it comes to our mitzvos, tefillin, tzitzis, when you daven, do you have any idea what Anshei Knesset HaGedolah wanted within that Shmon Esrei? Do you know why? Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei three times? Do you have any idea why they wrote this word here and that there and all these things? No. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to say out loud, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. When you dive in your Shmon Esrei, say, I don't understand it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but this is what you wanted us to do. And if you have that in mind, it's the holiest thing you could possibly have. And that's what they did every time. So after everything that they made, it says, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. This is what God commanded Moshe. This is what God commanded Moshe. Every single time it happened that way, and all they thought were holy thoughts. That should be something for us from Maariv tonight. This is what God commanded us to do. All right, guys, we'll stop with